My name is Miriam. I'm program manager at the Free Software Foundation, and at the FSF, people often ask us, how can we bring free software to schools, free software in education? And one of the ways to do that is to go down to schools, high schools, other schools, universities, and just present what free software is all about to the students and to the teachers. And this is what I want to present today, is some teaching materials that we at the FSF provide you with to get you started. If you want to do that, go to a school in your area and present free software. And also a platform where you can upload your own teaching materials to share them with others. Before I get more into detail with that, I want to present real quick what the Free Software Foundation is. Probably a lot of you already know it, but it always helps to summarize it. We are a nonprofit organization, and we are almost exclusively powered by individual associate members and donors like you. Our mission is to promote computer user freedom, so your freedom as a user, and our website is fsf.org. And this year, we are turning 40. And in celebration of that, we have a lot of exciting events going on all over the year 2025. And if you want to check them out, then go to fsf.org/fsf40, and you'll see what's on there. What does the FSF do? We advocate for your rights as a computer user with different campaigns. One example is the Freedom Ladder campaign that is to get people started with free software and then climb up the ladder step by step. And we also have a Fight to Repair campaign, which is about where we explain why software is free software is very important to the right to repair. The reason is that several devices these days run with software on them. So if you are able to only repair the hardware but can't repair the software, that often doesn't fix the problem. So we at the FSF advocate for you being able to modify the software and adapt it and thereby fix it. Then we have an Upgrade from Windows campaign, which is recently getting more attraction again because Microsoft is dropping the Windows 10 support. So this is drawing attention to that, and we try to convince people to help others to upgrade to a GNU Linux system and free software. We have a Defective by Design campaign, which is about, against digital restrictions management, and many, many more campaigns. Just go to our website and you'll find out. And our core work is what people know us for, to advocate for user freedom and to sponsor the GNU project, to maintain the free software definition, so what people know as the four freedoms, and to publish the GNU general public license that is widely known and used. But now on to the topic I'm here to talk about, free software teaching materials, I want to start with our videos. We have a lot of videos on our YouTube channel, which is linked to here. And you can use almost all of them for universities and schools, especially for high schools. They're a good way to start a presentation if you're doing a classroom visit somewhere. They're a good way to get into conversation with people, with the students, and they usually like them to have something visualized. Here on the left-hand side, in the upper left corner, you see our Fight to Repair video, which is about the right to repair and why free software and software freedom is so important for the right to repair. Then on the upper right corner, you see our University of Costumes Heroes video, which is about free software in education and why it's so important. And it makes a case at a university where management is trying to implement proprietary restrictive software, and then the students stand up for their rights and say they want to have free software, and software that respects their freedoms, especially in education. And on the right-hand side, in the lower corner, you have the user liberation video, which is about what free software is about and is basically a basic, simple explanation of software freedom. Also very handy to use. And then on the the last video here is put yourself in command, introduction to the command line. That's a series of tutorials we are starting that is following our book, Introduction to the Command Line, that FSF is publishing. And it's very short, simple videos explaining how you can interact with the command line. In this case here, how to open the terminal, so very basic stuff you need to know. And this is also something that can be used in workshops at schools. We also have questionnaires that we provide and that you can download and adapt to your needs and adapt to the lesson you want to give. It is a thing we like to start a lesson with or give it to people in advance of a classroom visit so that they can reflect on what software freedom means for them, because many students don't know a lot about software freedom, but they already know what they want. So we ask questions like, how strongly do you agree or disagree to the following statements? I would like to be able to copy software and run it on any device I wish. I would like to be able to study the software I use and find out how it works. I would like to be able to modify software to adapt it to my needs. So that's basically about the four freedoms. And before we explain what the four freedoms are, we ask students, how do you feel about that? What is important for you in your daily life? Other questions are, have you ever shared a book with a friend, or have you ever shared an e-book with your family members? Have you ever gifted a video game or music to a friend? Have you ever shared a program or source code with a fellow student? And this helps them to reflect and to get into the topic, and then it's also nice and handy to pull it up later after the classroom visit, and they can you can discuss, yeah, does anything change after you now know what free software is? How do you feel about these questions now? We also provide presentations, a ready-to-use presentation here that we used at Everett High School, which is in the Boston area, Massachusetts, in the USA. And we went there to present to 300 cybersecurity and computer user students. And this is why this presentation is a little tailored to cybersecurity students also. So it has some aspects about what free software and cybersecurity, how do they relate. But it also is a very basic introduction into free software and why you should care about it. So you can download that and adapt it to your needs as well. Then we provide handouts. Apart from the questionnaire I just showed, we have handouts like the Four Freedoms handout, which explains just what the Four Freedoms are. And you can also download them and adapt them to whatever lesson you want to share. Another handout we like to hand out is the printer story. It's basically how our founder, Richard Stallman, got very upset with a printer that wasn't doing well, that always got jammed, and he wanted to improve it, and wrote a piece of software and wanted to install that on the printer. And then he found out that the software the printer's running on is proprietary, and the company Xerox didn't give them the source code, so they just couldn't improve it. And that made him start the GNU project, and was the start of the free software movement, basically. And many students can relate to that to that story and to that frustration, because it makes it really like a real life thing. So we sometimes hand that out before we go there and give it as an optional assignment for them to read, and then we pick it up and we talk about it in the talk. And most of the students responded positively to that. So I've been talking a lot about you can download these materials, so where to find them. They are on our LibrePlanet wiki, which is at libreplanet.org/wiki/teaching_materials. You can also find this presentation online, by the way, on the FOSDEM website. And there you can not only download materials, but you can also upload your own materials. So we put it on the wiki because you can edit it and you can add to it as opposed to our website fsf.org, which we only added. So here you're really in charge of uploading stuff and downloading stuff and adding and improving stuff. And I invite you to do that. We also have some more materials on fsf.org/resources/materials, as for example the Four Freedoms handout I just showed, that's located there. Yeah, this is an impression from the last visit I mentioned at Everett High School, where we talked to three or four classes of computer science and cybersecurity students, and presented free software to them and why it's important and the free software philosophy mostly. So this is my colleague Devin and me were going there. And most of the students were very interested and reacting positively. I mean, you also see on the photo that some were distracted by their phones. That's always the case. You have to deal with that as well. But many were really interested. And what was interesting for me when I started this is I found out you really should start from scratch and with the basics of free software. I was assuming, well, computer science students, they probably know a lot about software in general and probably heard about free software, but it's not the case with all of them. So really it helps to start with what are the four freedoms, what is free software, why is software freedom important, and to talk about that. Other topics to talk about are free social media, for example. That's what they are very interested in. So we talked about Mastodon and our Mastodon account, and we also presented our PeerTube channel. Mobile phone freedom is an interesting topic because these days many people do their computing with mobile phones, of course. Examples of free software the students may already use to make it more practical, free software and cybersecurity, because we present it to cybersecurity students, but also that's a question that's coming up often, and then the importance of free software in a free society. We recently had a campaign about the importance of free software in a free society, so if you go to our blogs on fsf.org/blogs, you'll find a lot of articles related to that. And Apple devices, we always bring that, or not always, but the students often bring that up because at many schools they have Apple devices. Apple is pushing their products on schools. So we talk about that and what are the issues with these devices. Email encryption is another interesting topic. We have the email self-defense campaign at FSF. It's located at emailselfdefense.fsf.org. And there you can learn, and the students can learn how to encrypt emails. And you can set it up with them together, for example. And that brings me to privacy, which is another topic many students are interested in. And it's also important, of course, how to stay private on the internet. Then the students often come up with their own questions, like, is it safe to use free software? They often ask that because, I mean, the source code is publicly available, so they assume, well, then hackers can exploit that. They can find vulnerabilities, and it's easy for them, and so that is the assumption is that that makes it non-safe. And we make the opposite case. We say, well, there's a whole community sitting here improving the source code, finding the bugs, and at least now you can have a look into it and know what's going on and what the software is doing, and can improve the bugs and deal with them. Otherwise, if you have a company that doesn't publish the source code, it's proprietary software, then you have to trust them that they do a good coding job and that they protect it well. Then what are examples of GNU software that is widely used is often a question coming up. How can I get involved with free software projects? So many students are really also interested in volunteering opportunities or internships. How can you make money with free software is often a question, especially in the upper high school classes. What's the issue with Alexa was often asked. Those kind of questions. So I was now talking about a lot about what is free software and how to explain the ethics of free software to students. That's also because I'm working on the campaigns team, and that's what I'm doing, explaining what free software is and why it's important. What is another great thing to do to build on top of that then is to deliver workshops that really work, where you really work with free software and get the students to do something with free software. So that would be the goal. And there, here are some examples what are great workshops you can present at schools. An introduction to the command line, where you could use, for example, our videos. Then graphics, anything about graphics editors like GIMP, Inkscape, or Critter. Video editing, like with Blender or Krita, and recording and simple audio editing, for example, with Audacity, which is getting more important with podcasts these days, capturing and streaming videos with OBS Studio, for example. Mobile phone freedom, you could just install F-Droid with them and start installing some basic apps. Or OpenStreetMap editing is also an interesting topic. And we are looking for materials for workshops like these. So if you have done workshops like these, then it would be great if you could upload some materials and share them. I forgot what I wanted to say anyway. We are not only looking for teaching materials, we are also looking for teaching volunteers. So we have another page on the LibrePlanet Wiki where you can show your interest in teaching, going down to schools and teaching what free software is all about in your area. So you could just write down a nickname and say, well, I'm available in that area. And then teachers can, then you can email us and we can connect you with teachers who are interested in having people talk about free software at their schools. And vice versa, if you are a teacher or a headmaster, you can put your school on here and say, hey, we are looking for people who explain free software, who give workshops, and then we can connect you. If you want to support all that work we are doing, then I'd be grateful if you could join as an associate member. And thanks for all those who are already associate members, because as I said, we are an organization really supported and powered by almost by members and individual donors like you only. And this is time for your questions. Thanks for listening. First and then second.
My question, you have a lot of advice for teachers and for people how to engage, but do you also have advice on how do you talk to board members and school directors and how to convince them of open source software?
Yeah, interesting. Thanks for the question. The question is, do we also have advice how to talk to board members or the decision makers in schools to convince them to use free software at the school on the institutional level, basically? That's a discussion we are still having because it depends on the country. It depends. Sometimes depends on the schools. The system is very different everywhere. So I was just last week I was talking to Neil Plotnick, a computer science teacher in the Boston area, who said, "Well, half of the schools, it's just the computer science teachers who decide what software they use and what's being used, and at the other half of the schools, it's the IT department or it's the headmaster or so." It's very different. So the first advice is find out who's in charge and who's making the decisions. Basically, talking to people, mostly to teachers and students, and then working your way up. And if you need support from an organization like a nonprofit organization like the FSF, then you can reach out to us, and we would be happy to start that conversation or support such conversations, because that's an important topic. Thanks. There was a second question here.
Yes. I've got a question. You were talking a lot about materials for high schools, and I was kind of looking for maybe there are materials for primary schools. This is, I know that the organization made a little book. What's the title? But that, for instance, my children can give a presentation about free software on primary school. They can do that about human rights, children rights. They can download packages, slides, and that kind of stuff. Materials, but would that be also the possibility, or is there already some stuff that younger children can use?
Yes, there's a lot. So my colleague Devin, who was on a picture at Everett High School, he is programming a program called Music Blocks, entirely free software, and that's really intended for children at primary school level upwards, where it's a combination of learning music and rhythm and a bit of math with that, and programming in the at the same time. And that's really on a basic level, and we had a lot of workshops already with that that were quite successful, for example, so I'm happy to connect you with Devin on that project. That's one example maybe in the room here. Others have also example for primary schools, and please bring it up. The book is probably Ada and Sangerman you were talking about. Yeah, that's materials from FSFE, so FSF Europe, who published that. Yeah, that's also a great book and resource. Did that answer your question?
Not really. It's more kind of a like how in children language you could explain it free software. And I think if we start early talking about its principles,
yes,
they can explain it themselves.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. I think it starts with tinkering, like with these music blocks, where they really can just experience it. I think for at that age and for olders also, it's very important to experience what it means and that they can play around it and move it around. And that's also an interesting topic, but I only had 25 minutes, so that's another talk. But we can keep talking on that. Yeah.
Mostly the schools reaching out to you and asking, "Oh, mm-hmm. would you like to have this presentation about free software? Or how do I get started if I now would like to do this at a school in my local area, for example? What's your advice on this?"
Yeah, my advice is put your name or a nickname or something on the Leap of Planet Wiki, teaching volunteers, reach out to us and let us know that you're interested, and then we are happy to connect you with people that we have. We also had volunteers who reached out themselves to schools, and some were very successful with that. Others were declined several times, which is really frustrating, and so it can help to have the support of an official organization like the FSF. That's why I'm suggesting that, and it can save you from frustration. If you are a student yourself or at a university, then you can also stand up yourself and just give a presentation there. That's the most easiest way. Many teachers approach us at the FSF and ask us for talks, which is fantastic also. So we really like to go to schools, but then we are only so many staff members, so our resources are limited. So that's why we need you to stand up in your area and go there to schools. I have so many questions. I don't know who was first. I'll start from the back. You can talk to fellow students. You can talk to your teachers, and to everyone you can talk to at your university, and make them aware of the issue at first. And you could, for example, organize a protest. In addition, you can also talk to us, and we can see if we can do a campaign again together for that. We have a campaign actually that many thousand people signed. Which is asking schools to switch to free software. So many people support that, but it's still difficult to reach the decision makers, which is the point we had before. Okay, time is up, but we can chat after the talk. Thank you very much for your questions. That was interesting.